On Midwest Week, the Mississippi Valley Fair prepares to celebrate its centennial. I'm Herb Trix, and my guest this week is Alma Gault, features writer for the Quad City Times. So, Alma, is the annual fair in Davenport really 100 years old this year?
Well, in my when I do my math, not exactly, because the very first fair was in 1920, and so I would think then that the 100 years would be in 2020, but the planning began in 1919, so we're going with that.
Okay, so some people want to go with 100, and maybe they'll celebrate 100 again next year?
Yes, they could do that.
Okay, so going back however many years it is, why was the fair started? What was it supposed to do?
I think people in this community and in that time of history liked fairs. I mean, the Mississippi Valley Fair that started in 1920 was not the first fair for this area. There were fairs back in to 1854. Davenport was only, you know, like very a young city, but that was a thing that people did. They exhibited the crops, they exhibited their animals, they had fun. That was a fun thing to do. I mean, you think back, what were fun things to do at that time? Well, an annual fair was one of them. So there were fairs all the way along, and it's just a thing. People exhibit, people come in and, as I say, have fun, buy strange food, watch entertainment acts, that kind of thing. So, but this particular fair, you know, every fair has a group, and there was a group of businessmen who got together and decided this would be a good thing for Davenport. You know, it'd bring people in, it'd bring people in from the country, from surrounding cities. It would be good for, like, they didn't say that in those days, but economic development. And it would be like a fun thing to happen in the community. And they were community boosters, so they wanted something, you know, good happening in our community, and they saw the fair as a way to do that.
And is it safe to say that the fair has changed a bit, or at least a great deal, in all that time?
It has changed, certainly, as there was a much more agricultural focus years ago because there were quite more farmers, and so there was more focus on maybe livestock competition, which there still is, but maybe less of a focus. And there used to be like farm implement manufacturers would bring in new machines, and, you know, farmers could look at the latest and greatest. And then that just kind of, there were so few farmers, and it was such a big deal to bring in all these big pieces of machinery that kind of fell away. You know, that with more farm kids, there was more like 4-H participation. But then in the 60s, the fair people who ran it could see that this, you know, what there was a shift in the demographic. And so they tried to appeal more to the urban population and to get city people involved in exhibiting. So exhibits are still a backbone of the fair. People like to go there and look at the animals. I mean, even if they aren't showing, they like to look at them because they don't get to see sheep and pigs and horses on a daily basis. So that's one of the attractions. And then, of course, entertainment has changed. What people like music, like to listen to, the cost of it has changed. But the feel of the fair, although more urban, is still I kind of like it always was, I think, a place to have fun and do different things and see different things and attractions and that sort.
Now, I understand from your story that the fair was in trouble and might have even shut down back in the 70s and 80s.
Yes, actually, Herb, I was working here in the 70s and 80s, and so I remember this, and it seemed like every year we were writing headlines that said, make or break year for the Mississippi Valley Fair. This could be the last year. Oh, and actually, they were in debt of some several hundred thousand dollars, and if it rained, and I remember it did one year, you know, it rained every day. Well, then no one came, I mean, not no one, but attendance is way down, and sometimes attendance was down because of the heat, but rain more so. And so they were not doing so well. And they, in the 80s, they were getting a subsidy from Scott County that ended, that there was no government subsidy to the fair nowadays, but there was then. And the county looked at that and said, well, we can't, you know, keep doing this You guys have to get on an even keel, and we support the food, but we can't just keep giving you money. You got to get your own financial house in order, and they did. But it was very rocky, and it was rocky throughout its history. There were different governing groups that came and went. Different at one time, they lost some 80 acres out there that they. Some other group got a hold of them. Then they got them back. But they've had their financial struggles, but they seem to be on an even keel now.
And these days, Alma, how is the Mississippi Valley Fair governed? I understand it really has no connection to any government at all.
No, it's a nonprofit group, and they're governed by a board and 19 members, I think, and they have a general manager, and then they for income they rent out. The grounds and the buildings, like the Starlight Ballroom or the Kepi building, for events and parties and weddings and that kind of thing. And they have bingo and they have flea markets and they have races and, you know, different functions that then help keep it solvent and, you know, able to put on the fair that they do.
And is it safe to say that one of the things that helped save the fair was the fun card?
It really did, I think. The attendance was dropping, and people, you know, they didn't kind of like the idea that you paid admission, and then you paid for, you know, the show, and you paid for this and that. And so the fun card lets you get in, and it was the only way to see the grandstand, is still the only way to see the grandstand shows. So if you put it that way, then, yeah, people come. Also, though, there was some other fiscal tightening up. I think the tightening up, the kind of ultimatum from Scott County Board that you have to, you know, get things in order, and then the fund code, was those two kind of together put it on its even keel.
And are there big plans for the future of the fair? Has anyone talked about how the fair might change again in the coming years?
You know, not so much. I think, you know, the people in charge, you know, they have their finger on what's kind of trending in the country and what, but I did not get into talking about that so much. But I'm sure there, you know, those fair associations, those shows they go to, those communication, you know, they're in communications with other fair things to see what's, you know, what's what maybe is popular somewhere else that they could do here, that kind of thing. Of course, you know, big names, huge entertainment names, they are not going to go for because it's just not fiscally responsible.
Now, have you heard much from people about this? You know, have people written in about their memories of the fair?
They have. Generally, the older group, you know, because that's a time that's kind of gone, but it was for people who are older now, but, you know, we're little kids, that was the thing, you know. I mean, there wasn't much going on. And like this one man that I interviewed, you know, there wasn't ball teams of any sort, baseball, soccer, blah, nothing of that. So the fair was really the thing. And so, you know, he remembers that fondly. And then, of course, you know, he competed in the animal classes. So that was like a year-round thing. I mean, it wasn't just you went to the fair, but you prepared for the fair for like all year. And then when you got to the fair, I think there were some little pranks that were played. I mean, they seemed to have fun. So, yeah, people had some happy memories.